Hello, it's Kendra. Welcome to the third episode of The Brand Journalist. Thanks for joining me. Last week, I talked about what a brand journalist is and does. In case you missed it, to boil it down, a brand journalist is a writer or other content producer who thinks differently about what communicating with an audience can look like, and who seeks to create quality in terms of depth or context, artistry or meaning over quantity. A, big air quotes here, journalist who serves not necessarily the public interest, but a specific audience's interest on behalf of a brand. What most agencies would call content marketing, we call brand journalism at Edgar Allen. And part of that is because we don't start with assumptions about what content should be before we define or interpret a company's brand or get to know their audiences. We don't know that a 600-word blog or an Instagram campaign or paid placement on Facebook or a game played out over 10 websites is the answer, because we don't know you yet or what's at the core of your company and what it has that nobody else has. So we don't like rules so much, but we do like awesome examples. And today we're going to talk about what we can learn from one epic old school example of brand journalism and the smart people who muddled through figuring out all of this stuff way before the content littered web was even a thing. In 1972, a little climbing equipment company in California called Schwinnard Equipment published its first product catalog. It started with a 14-page essay by a climber named Doug Robinson on how to use the company's revolutionary chocks, which, if you're not a climber, are the things that you wedge into cracks in the rock on your way up a mountain to tie yourself off onto. So if you slip, they'll catch your rope and you'll only fall a few feet rather than all the way to the ground. These little things were just aluminum wedges, but they were designed with a passionate philosophy of not just function, but conservation in mind. And the owners of the company knew somehow that the story of that philosophy, written from an expert point of view, was so much more enticing to their audience, who were outdoors folk who loved to read as much as they loved to get out and get up over a boulder, than some ad in a sports magazine or a catchy product description. So Schwinnard Equipment eventually became Patagonia. And if you don't know this story, Patagonia kept creating that kind of intense editorial content over and over, putting out a catalog every season with incredible photography and panoramic writing for the next 47 years and counting. Today, they also have a bunch of digital channels and a great blog called The Cleanest Line, but that catalog is still the foundation of all of their marketing. The point is, Patagonia thinks very differently about content than most companies. There are a few things they do and think specifically that I like to remember every time I approach a new brand journalism project. First, they know that writing fiction is so much more difficult than nonfiction. Nonfiction is about simple truths, and this is where brand strategy comes in. A good brand strategy will illuminate those truths as well as get into the heads of your audience to help you, brand journalist, understand their language, their motivations, and their needs from what you're creating. That is a whole other conversation that we'll begin talking about in a week or so here, but it's important because you can't create amazing connective content without a sense of brand, story, and audience. Next, Patagonia has a directive to tell the entire story. The story of the product's benefits and why it's better, but also the one about how it came to be, and more importantly, why. The story of the people who made it and who use it, the philosophy behind it, and a million other stories. Most companies communicate with their audiences through advertising or through skim-level content marketing. That might grab attention, but it can't hold it. To perform that trick, you have to tell a better, more complete story. Patagonia does it in essays and world-class photography, and key to that is that they've made it a priority to spend a good amount of time and money on doing this. And that might not be an obvious choice for every company, but their success makes a good case for the value of deep, connective content. For choosing a coffee break conversation with the CEO for her off-the-cuff thoughts on a topic rather than just restating the company's corporate brochure content, for example. Or writing another 5-bullet article that just rearranges the points from another article. All of that makes for a much more honest, authentic, and interesting piece. And one thing you can always count on is that there's always three speeds on the transmission of marketing work: crawl, walk, and run. My advice, if you got to crawl now, crawl well. Do one great article instead of 10 crappy ones. And finally, probably the biggest and best thing Patagonia does is they make assumptions about their customers that are elevated. They never create for the lowest common denominator. This right to the bottom thing is a trap that I think typical content marketing makes us feel like we have to be stuck in. It tells us our only choice is to convey the very simplest thing, that our buyers are dumb and have short attention spans. It's all right at an eighth grade level. Nobody reads anything, so don't make it more than 600 words or 300 words or 140 characters. Watch your keywords. SEO is going to suffer if you stray too far. And that voice also says if you don't do it all, it'll fail. It'll fall flat. It won't perform. You know what? I think content fails because it's uninspired or unremarkable much more often than it fails because it didn't follow the formula. It fails more because it's not challenging enough than because it's too challenging. It fails because it doesn't feel or say enough or convey enough of anything at all in the language that its audiences are jonesing for. I think the answer is shooting high, treating your audiences like they're fully formed, intelligent, engaged human beings. Go low and you're going to get low. Low response, low engagement, low expectations of your brand. Think high, however, and the sky's the limit for creativity, for complexity, for truly meeting your audiences where they are, with what's going to drive them crazy and right toward falling in love with your brand. So, how will you reconsider the way you approach content creation for your brand or a client's brand? What other examples of great brand journalism do you know about, and what have you learned from them? Let me know at thebrandjournalist@edgarallen.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and I'll see you next week.